Fantastic. Friends, when was the last time in your life that you were truly challenged? And when you faced challenge, when this last song you said, Lynn, that was beautiful. So you rose to the occasion. But the thing is, when you are truly challenged, we've got several choices of what we can do. We can run away from the challenge and just hope that somebody else will rise to it, or we can decide that, you know what, we're going to commit to it. We're going to commit to it. We're going to lower our shoulders. We're going to have faith, step forward in faith, and just pray that Christ can help us to rise to meet whatever challenge arrives. This last year, one of my favorite things that I get to do in the church is be a part of Vacation Bible Schools. And during Vacation Bible Schools, one of my very favorite things to do is to help our young people raise money for some whatever missional outreach that they do. And during those time periods, usually to help them meet the challenges that they've set for themselves, I usually do something ridiculous once they have reached their goals in order to give them a little incentive. And so one year I decided I took 86 pies to the face. Grace Nolan and I were the victims of a dunking booth a couple years ago. And in one year I kissed a pig. And as you can see up there, it was no pot-belly pig that you can hold in your arms and cradle. It was a nearly 200-pound heifer that was busy rooting its way through all of its filth. It was pretty disgusting. When it came time to kiss that pig, I'm going to tell you that pig was not as just as unexcited to kiss me as I was to kiss it. And after we had our romantic encounter together, the kids all were screaming so loudly that poor pig probably thought it was about to get turned into bacon. And so it turned back in fear and it bit me right on the toe. It's a clear statement. Hey, buddy, back off. Don't think you're coming in for a second kiss. And I was not. I backed off. I took the message. But the thing is, when you've got a challenge in front of you, it's so much fun to actually follow through and to commit and to see it to completion. And so this last year at Vacation Bible School, Cindy and I, that's the pig. I was getting ready to kiss that baby. All right. But last year at Vacation Bible School, our goal was to raise as much money as we food as we could for the Akron Canton Food Bank. And so one of the things that we did is we had incentivized it. So Cindy and I were all in. We said we were going to have a box with her name on it, a box with my name on it. And whichever box that the kids put their food into is a way in which they would vote to see who which one, in quotes, would win at the end of the week. And what we would win is that we would have a bunch of slime poured over our heads. Each of the kids would have a big cup of slime and pour it over our heads. And since Cindy was involved in it and she had committed, I thought it was like, hey, I've got a 50-50% chance of maybe being able to get out of this one this year, which I was excited about. A couple of days just before Vacation Bible School, I found out that Matt Cern also wanted to throw his name into the whole mix, and that was probably some of the best news that I've heard in years. Because immediately my 50-50% chance now became only a 33% chance that I would get slimed at the end of the week. I wasn't certain that Matt Cern was all in, but I called him up, and it was not a joke, and he was committed. And when I saw his box with food filling up, I knew for certain he was committed. He was in. And as the Vacation Bible School week wore on, it became apparent that Cindy and Matt were in a death race to the end. In the very last minute, they were neck and neck up to the very last hour when suddenly the Mangano family came up big. Allie Mangano popped open her trunk, and out of the trunk came a huge secret load of food, all dumped into Matt Cern's box, and Matt Cern was the winner when all was said and done. But in the process, we had raised over 1,000 pounds of food. I'm not talking about 1,000 items, 1,000 pounds of food. That's a huge amount when we took it down to the Akron Canton Food Bank. And it was an exciting thing to see people when they get all in for their faith. It was fun to see that the kids were all in. It was exciting to see the parents were all in, the teachers were all in, and Matt Cern, man, he was all in. When I found out that he was going to win, that I thought perhaps he would make a run for it, but he told me he was committed to see it through. And there he is, you can see it. And so over this last year, I've seen so many different ways in which people have displayed the most beautiful commitments in this congregation. Now, when I think about the idea of the word committed, we could be committed to our faith or we could be committed to a hospital. And they have very different connotations. And sometimes in life, when we are committed to our faith, perhaps people think we should be committed to a hospital. because we do some of the most insane things for our Savior Jesus Christ. One of the people I'm thinking about today is Howard Herendeen, and there's Howard Herendeen. This guy is committed to the upbringing, the faithful upbringing of his grandchildren. And not just his own grandchildren, but all of our kids in this congregation. I mean, the guy is an amazing mentor to kids. He's a part of our confirmation program, and he's a crazy enough adult to go on overnight retreats with us and be a chaperone and help to teach along the way. And he also was one of our youth mission leaders on our mission trip to Steubenville this last year. And on that mission trip to Steubenville, Jim McCarger and Howard Herendeen perhaps maybe bit off more than they thought they could chew when they took on the toughest job of the whole week. Their job was to have to rip off a deck from a person's home that was completely rotten and disintegrated, it was totally unsafe, and build a brand new one. And the challenge was that it was about 7 feet off the ground. And they only had about 3 days to do it. And the people that they were working with were a bunch of our youth who had probably never used most of the tools they used before in their lives. And so the challenge was laid before them. And when the challenges are laid before us, we have a question that we have to make. Do we commit? Do we lower our shoulders? Or do we back away and hope that somebody else will come along and take care of it? Going to the Bible, I think about the story in which Jesus and Peter walk on water together. You know the story that the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee, and we all know what seas look like when they get churned up, when the wind starts going. This is Lake Erie. I think it's a beautiful shot of Lake Erie, but you know Lake Erie can churn up pretty quickly. And the Sea of Galilee, being an even smaller body of water, really can churn up very quickly and become dangerous. So out there in the middle of the sea, the disciples were there in a boat, and the wind and the waves were tossing the boat all over the place. And they looked out through the chaos of the world around them, through the storm, and there comes Jesus walking across the water. Now, they kind of panicked when they saw him. That certainly was not the most normal thing for any of us to see. And Peter calls out to his Lord and Savior. He says, Jesus, if it is truly you, then call to me, and I'll come to you. Jesus heard the challenge. He said, okay, Peter, rise to it. He said, come. Peter steps out of the boat into waters like that, and he starts to walk on water. Now, I am certain when the rest of the disciples saw him do that, they must have thought he was absolutely insane. I mean, if any of us were going on a boat ride together in Lake Erie and I saw you jump overboard into the waters like that, I would think you were absolutely insane. And sometimes in the commitments that we make to our faith, what we do in those commitments make us look a little insane. But Peter got out of that boat, and for a little while he walked on water until he started thinking about what he was doing, until he thought about all of the things that could possibly go wrong. And in the process, he started sinking down into the water. He started to drown. I want you to understand this very clearly, that when you step out in faith for Jesus Christ, when you make the commitment to rise to the challenge for your faith, Christ will not let you drown. And as we know from this passage, Jesus reached out immediately to Peter as he was flailing, and he lifted him back to safety. And he helped Peter rise to a new level of faith that he had never been able to know before. That's one of the great things about challenges. They cause us to make a decision. Will we commit or will we not commit? Will we rise up or will we not rise up? And when we do that for Jesus Christ, we find ourselves going to levels we never thought possible before. And so Howard Herendeen was in over his head, and by the time that the third day rose around, it was becoming apparent that perhaps they were not going to be able to finish the project. It was a hot day, and we got the word at our work site, and we were finishing up our work site, and so Brian Manzini from Steubenville, Doug Detweiler and I, and the rest of our team, and Jen Dyer, we all headed over to the mission site where Howard and Jim McCarger and his team were faithfully working. And it was hot. It was like 90 degrees. I mean, they've been working all day long in the sun. And usually we'd break somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock, but by this point it was already 5 o'clock, and the kids were getting hungry. But not a single one of those kids complained at all about pushing through. Our team showed up to simply help wherever we could, and I sat back and watched as Howard and Jim McCarger motivated all of those young people to keep pushing through, to rise to the challenge, and to complete the project that they had committed to. And they did. I watch as they use the skills that they were taught to measure, to tape, to drill, to secure that deck until that thing was completed. And I've got to tell you, when the church comes together, because that's what was happening, when the church comes together, friends, we can move mountains together in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we were able to bear witness to that fact that day. And so, Howard, thank you for your leadership. When I think about all these different ways, I can think about numerous times throughout this year in which I've seen so much awesome commitment. I think about our confirmation class, that we had the largest confirmation class that I have ever had in my 18 years of ministry this last year. And I think about the commitments that each of those young people made to their Savior, Jesus Christ. I think about the parents' commitment to get their kids there every week. I think about their mentors' commitments and their teachers' commitments. And I say, my gosh, what a place of beauty. What a thing of beauty that all is. Several weeks ago, Cindy and I were driving into the church parking lot, and there was Brian Beal and Emily Beal were outside cutting grass. And it was before the weather turned. It was cold out. It was really hot outside before it had dropped in temperature like it is today. And they were out there sweating. It was probably up near 90 degrees. And Cindy looked at them. She's like, do we pay them to do that? Now, how many of you out there have ever cut grass before in our church parking lot? You guys, a bunch of you have cut grass here at the church parking lot. And you know that if you've done it on your own, it's probably about a four-hour job. It is no small thing. And Cindy's like, do we pay them to do that? And the simple answer is, no, we don't. Her next question is like, why in the world would anybody do that? Well, you know the answer. Because they've made a commitment. And they've made a stepped out in faith and a committed. And so throughout this year, I can see countless times in which people have stepped out and committed. And we've got a very committed staff here. I'm grateful to be a part of the team that we have here. And everybody on our staff is committed to see the ministries of this church move forward and flourish. But guess what? We're paid to be here. We're paid to be here. But all of the unpaid servants out there, from our finance committees to the kids that work on the children's choirs, to the bell choirs and to the choirs, that all of you folks that show up all the time have made a commitment to be here to make a part of this ministry great. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. Now, last year at the end of the year-end report, we've set some goals for ourselves, and we had some challenges in this last year. And I'm happy to report for so many of those goals that we set for ourselves, we didn't just meet them, we surpassed them. And when I look at some of our year-end reporting last year, it was one of my favorite things. In reporting and filling out forms is not my most favorite thing. But when we were filling out this year-end report, there was one section that says, how many people reached out in missional outreach this last year? And I put down the number we calculated. We made a pretty good educated guess about how many people did that. And the computer spit back, no, you must be wrong. I was like, why in the world would they tell me I'm wrong? And the thing was, the computer said, you couldn't have possibly had this many people, this much of an increase in 1 year's time, and people that have reached out. I want you to hear that. That in 1 year's time, because of the work that you did, we literally broke the system of the Methodist Church. We broke the computer. And that has a great deal to do with the fact of the people that reach out through Operation Christmas Child. It has a great deal to do with the fact with Margie Cosin and Michelle Davis helping to lead people in Eden Eve. The numbers we reported were from 2017, and this year in Eden Eve, they're doing the same thing and helping people reach out on a weekly basis. It has a great deal to do with John and you and your team of mission trips that you do in Grace Park and Project Feed. It's got a great deal to do with Cindy and Grace who get to people together to go out into the community and simply be kind through our Acts of Kindness party. But it's awesome that through faith, we broke the system. And so I had to give an answer about why in the world is this horrible discrepancy in our year-end report. And my answer was simple. This is what it looks like when a church is committed and steps out in faith. And I couldn't have been prouder. Now, this year's stewardship campaign is, we're in the middle of it right now. And our theme is to clip in. And clipping in is a bike term and everything, which I'm not a bike rider. I can ride a bike, but I also fall off of bikes, and so I don't ride bikes all that often. Now, the Mangano family know all about what it means to clip in. And apparently, if you're a good bike rider and you're going on a long ride, you can attach your feet to the pedals. Is that correct? That sounds like a completely insane thing for me to do because I wipe out and I fall on bikes. Now, but when you attach your feet to the pedals, apparently, if you're going to wipe out, by theory, you're able to unclip your feet. Is that right, Andy? But the reality is that sometimes you can't. And sometimes you go down with a bike. But when you have clipped into that bicycle, what you do if you have made a commitment that whether this bicycle goes down or whether I ride to glory across the finish line, I'm committed that this is the vehicle upon which I will ride. And in our faith lives, that's exactly what we do in faith, that we have clipped into this church, into this the church of Jesus Christ, and said, this is the vehicle upon which we will ride. That in days in which we crash because of our faith, we're there. And we know that Jesus Christ will lift us up from the waters in which we drown. He will get us back on our feet, and we will begin again. And in the days in which we ride to glory in His name, we have committed, we have clipped in. And I think that's an absolutely awesome image. And I'm proud to have seen people clipping in time and time again in this past year. Now, when Joshua was getting ready to go across the river, to go and inherit the promised land that God had given them, I've got a feeling Joshua is probably scared to death. Now you might say, why in the world would you be scared to death? This is the dream that he'd been living for. This was the moment in which he crossed over the Jordan River and inherited the promised land, something that they'd been dreaming about for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. Well, I think that he was scared to death because in the previous passage, before you get this one here, God has to tell Joshua 3 or 4 times, be strong and be courageous. Now, if Joshua was already strong and courageous, then he probably would not require God to have to keep telling him to be strong and courageous. But just like all of us, when we have a challenge before us, there is a possibility in which we are afraid that we are not equipped to do what needs to be done. Joshua looked at all the people that Moses had led, and he realized that these were not the easiest people to lead. And so he probably thought, maybe I don't have what it takes to do what needs to be done. But be strong, be courageous. He also knew that there are many dangers ahead. And so just following this passage, as they begin to enter into the promised land, he sends his warriors fully armed going forward, because he knew that there would be a fight ahead. He was fully aware that they were going to face challenges along the way. But it's this passage that I rely on so much in my own faith life. It's a passage, I think it hangs up in your bedroom, doesn't it, Ethan? This one right here, it's on that lion that I printed out. It hangs above his bed. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. The next challenge that you face in life, don't forget this scripture. Be strong, be courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Now I'm certain that there are challenges that are lying ahead of us in this upcoming year. Of that we can be certain. There are some challenges that we're fully aware of, and there are other challenges that are yet to still pop up. That's what challenges do. They pop up out of nowhere, and they surprise you. But I say good, because it's in the face of the challenge where we get to ask the question, am I committed or am I not committed? In the name of Jesus Christ, do I choose to run away from the challenge, or do I lower my shoulders, reach my hand out to Christ, and say, Lord, lead me through this? This last Thursday, I'm a part of what's called an Apportionment Sustainability Committee, in which we're looking at the amount of money that we give from our church into the greater ministry. And in that committee this past Thursday, we talked about the dismal state of affairs of our conference finances. And what we heard in that was doom and gloom, that there are challenges ahead. But I have no fear, for wherever we go, God will go with us. There's a mountain that we need to climb, and we may need to learn to climb that mountain in a different way as Methodists. But you know what? We're going to learn to climb it. We will learn to climb it. And in November, I fly out to Chicago to meet with our pensions and our health care committees to talk about the state of our pensions and health care for our entire denomination. You see, people are anxious about coming up in February. The General Conference is coming up in February, in which we have to make some sort of decision about human sexuality. And throughout that, people are predicting the end of the world. They see the challenge ahead of us. They said that the church will fall apart, that the church will break, that the church will be no more. Well, friends, I think about all of the challenges the church has faced throughout our existence. I think about the fact that none of us are being captured by Romans and thrown into an arena to be fight as gladiators. That we faced that one and somehow we came through it and flourished. None of us, I think, are going to be eaten by a lion. We came through that one too, and we flourished. And so people of the world have said that the church will fall apart. I don't believe it. The challenge is laid out there that, yes, whatever decision is made, the challenge is out there. And our choice is, what will we do? Will we rise to meet it? Will we run away? Will we commit in and say, you know what, whether we crash or whether we ride to glory, is this the vehicle in which I have clipped in? And will I ride in the name of Jesus Christ? Well, friends, I look back at all of the great things that have happened in this last year. I think to myself, why in the world would I ever run away from so many people who have committed in to so many great things that have happened here? And I think about this church in particular, that you guys have gone through some strife in the last decade or so. You know what storms are about. And you have weathered storms much bigger than these. And if you can weather those storms and still say, you know what, this is the ship in which I am going to sail, then we will find a way to sail through this storm as well, in the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, will you run away from the challenge? Or do you rise to it? Be strong, be courageous. Don't be discouraged, don't be terrified, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Friends, I am confident that whatever challenge gets laid before us, the ones that we can foresee and the ones that we cannot foresee, we have what it takes. We've got our Savior by our side. We will rise. We will climb the mountain. We will face the challenges that come, and we will learn to flourish instead of fall apart, which is what the world has predicted. The world predicts that we will crumble. Well, we can have a choice to crumble, but we also have the choice to flourish. And so I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, let us prove the power of our Savior and choose to flourish in those times of disorder. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us build a foundation when the world around us crumbles. Let us build a foundation in the name of God. And if you don't know how to build, ask Howard Herendeen or Jim McCarger and Doug Detweiler. They do. They taught me. And if they can teach me, they can teach all of us. Rise to the challenge. Lower your shoulders. Clip in and commit. Amen.